Here we are in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 will be... We're getting into some, what I'd like to call, tough sledding in the book of Hebrews. It's some tough sledding that we're going to go through. And so I just think you buckle up and you go follow along. But what I hope you'll do is, as we read these verses and as I preach to you over the next few weeks, that your heart is open and your mind is ready to read and to think and to study. I hope if you're not part of a small group that you'll attend one, if for no other reason, just to discuss and have the question and working through, continuing study through these passages, because some of it is, it's difficult for us. So I guess I just say that ahead of time, don't feel bad if you're reading and you go, okay, now who is this talking about? One thing to keep in mind is that the book of Hebrews is written to Jewish people they've heard the gospel, and many of them have come to Christ. But there are still some who aren't sure they want to cling to the old rugged cross. They're not sure if it's because they grew up in a very solid religion, in the Jewish ways, in the Old Testament. And now they're being challenged, they're being told, all of those Old Testament promises and the prophets, all of that is pointing to Jesus, and he is the end. There's Jesus, and that's all that you need. He is better than Moses. He is better than Abraham. Better than David. Better than the prophets and the priests and the kings. Jesus is the great high priest. And he offered the sacrifice of himself for our salvation. And so what you have to do is put your faith in that and let go of anything else that you've been trying to do to this point. Let go of your own righteousness, your own efforts of salvation, and trust that Jesus is enough. So here we are this morning, Hebrews 5, verse 11. And I'm going to just start reading. I have notes from that go down into chapter 6, but don't be afraid about that. We'll see how far we get. Before I get tired of speaking or you get tired of listening, whichever happens first. Verse 11. About this, and he has just told them about in verse 9, being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. That's Jesus. He's the perfect sacrifice and the source of salvation. About this, he says, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So this message this morning, the title I've given it is this: Move On From Milk. Move On From Milk. And we'll talk about this in just a moment. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for the music we've been able to sing this morning. Thank you for the fellowship that we've had. And now, Lord, would you just be honored and help us to understand your word this morning, to what it means and how it applies to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our church has been recently blessed with a great number of newborns. babies. The nursery is filling, and that's wonderful. We love that. That's such good news, exciting. We pray it continues. You know, the young people and young children and families. Babies all start out drinking only milk. That's just how God made them and designed them. You, however, if you're sitting here this morning, need more than that. Need more than milk. I think we probably need some New York strip steak, some barbecue chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, apple pie, brownies with frosting. I tell you these things and it's only 11:23. You've got to wait till lunch. How much about food should I talk about right now? Well, it's solid food. Maybe some white fish fillets from Darrow's and a four berry pie that comes with it. I loved, you know, Randy he really likes Darrow's, Phil Eyal. And those are the guys, they put their pie order in first and then order their whatever else they're going to eat. I think as we look at this passage, the Bible is talking about two kinds of people. There are infants, babies that only can have milk and only want milk. And then there are adults who eat solid food. And they want solid food and they need solid food. There are these two pictures being painted. As I understand this, as I read this and study this, I don't see this as there are baby Christians who need to just start growing and developing and kind of get into the stronger meat. What I think it is, there are people who, they're like babies in that they've heard the basics of Jesus loves you, God will be your father, he'll be your savior. They've heard that and they like that. And they like the fellowship of Christian people who are very friendly and nice. They like that. But that's all they want. They don't want to actually learn about their sin or how Christ will take away their sin if they'll trust in him. And how Christ is a high priest and he's made this final sacrifice. That sounds more difficult and complicated. And they're not really interested in that. They're more interested in God loves me. He wants the best for me. He wants me. And so they tend to stay in a simple new understanding about God and the gospel. And it's like milk to them. Whereas when you come to Christ and you put your faith in him, you want to know more about him. You want to learn more about the atonement for your sins. You want to know more about sanctification and going on and witnessing and ministering and serving. I think the challenge is for people to move on from milk. In other words, okay, you've heard about Jesus. Now put your faith in him and let's go on. Let's move forward. Let's grow into being a Christian and living for him. So it's sort of a grow up. We've got some steak here on the grill we want you to be part of. Well, let's see how this breaks down here in these verses. Verse 11, about this, about Jesus being the perfect high priest, about Jesus giving you eternal salvation, how he fulfills the Old Testament. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. So number one, be ready to listen. Be ready to listen. This is verse 11. What does it mean you have become dull of hearing? And I thought about this. The opposite of dull is what? Sharp. You know? So when the truths of God's word are coming at you and maybe you're dividing it, and you go, okay, that's talking about Jesus as the king. That's talking about Jesus as a priest. That's about Jesus as a sacrifice. I mean, this information about the Lord comes to you, and your mind is sharp and you're thinking. And, you know, we were talking this morning about what heaven will be like. What will heaven be like? One thing is, remember, heaven comes to earth. There's a new heaven and a new earth. And there will be cities. And so what will we be doing? I try to tell young people this. Heaven will not be an eternal church service. Now, don't worry. But if it is, it won't be boring like this one. Okay? You won't be bored in heaven. I promise you. You will not be bored in heaven. You're going to be perfect and with perfect people, and you're going to be with the Lord and Savior, and His light will light up the kingdom. Okay. Your mind, if you like that kind of talk about what heaven will be like, what Jesus is like, what the church is like, your mind is sharp. But if you hear that and you go, okay, we've heard this before. Yeah. We've heard about the old rugged cross. We've heard about the empty tomb. We've heard about babies and shepherds and mangers. And if your mind is sort of dull towards that, you've heard it, and it's just, you get dull towards it. Almost to where you're tired of hearing about it. But the writer here to the Hebrews says, be ready to listen. We have a lot of important things to say. Is your heart open to hearing it? Chapter 2, verse 1 says, we must pay the closest attention to what we have heard. What we've heard about the Savior. Chapter 3, in verse 7, if you look right there. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. And He's going to say that again in verse 15. If you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Chapter 4, therefore, while the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. There are people in the church, there are people in the church who, they come to church and they look like other Christians, but they haven't made it their own yet. They haven't put their commitment into Christ. And this is what he says in chapter 4. We're afraid there's some of you in the church that you're not going to make it into heaven because you don't have the faith. Because in verse 2, for good news came to us just as to them, that's those in the Old Testament. But the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. So when you hear the good news of Christ, when you hear that He died for you on a rugged cross, and He took your sins away, when you hear that, put your faith in Him. Put your trust in Him. When you hear it, believe it. He says in this verse 11, so back to chapter 5, verse 11, we want to tell you more about the Savior, but you've become dull of hearing. Like, I'm tired of hearing. I don't really want to hear any more about that. Tell me how I can have a better life. Tell me how I can be more successful or have more wealth. Tell me those things. I don't want to hear any more about the Savior. But I think true believers never tire of hearing the gospel. We sing the song, I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. Like, tell me that old story. And when we get to heaven, we're going to be singing a new song, and it will be the old story that we've loved for so long. But I'm afraid those who can't cut into the meat of the word, it's because their healing is dull. And who are these people? And this is where there's sort of a debate in study and in Hebrews. Are these Christians who are just sort of lazy, or are they people who are in church who aren't yet Christians, but are just sort of kind of floating along, not ready to put their trust in Christ, not ready to give their heart to Him? And I think that's who we're talking about. Verse 12, be ready for more is what he says. Be ready to listen and be ready for more. He says in verse 12, for by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. Or as someone said, the ABCs of the gospel. The ABCs, the very basics. You need to be reminded of those things. Because we'd like to tell you more and exciting things about the future and about God and his character. But you're still just kind of stuck with the ABCs, and almost like you don't want to know more about Christ and about what he's calling you to do. And he says, you need milk, not solid food. I think we have a metaphor here, right? A picture that he is using. And it's as though these people come to church and they say, just tell me the simple, sweet things about Jesus. Just give me the milk of the word. And I don't want whole milk or 2%, maybe just 1%. Maybe just some skim milk. Just give me the sweet things about Jesus. I like that. Tell me that God loves me. Tell me nobody's perfect, but God wants everyone to be happy. Tell me those things. But that's not faith. This is not being committed to Christ, or what the writer of Hebrews says, holding our confidence in him firm to the end. When you put your trust in Christ, you want to know all about him, more and more about him. Give me the solid food. Tell me the deep things. I want to think and I want to know him. Verse 13, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled. That's like a baby. They can't make decisions for themselves. Right? They can't. They're totally dependent. But adults make decisions. And I think that's one thing he's saying. Choose Christ. Don't be a baby that has to be carried everywhere and can't decide. But you know who Jesus is and decide to trust him. Don't be going back towards Judaism and the law and the synagogue. Don't be going back to the works of the law. Make your decision. Be an adult. Follow Christ. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled or unacquainted, inexperienced in the word of righteousness. What's the word of righteousness? I think it's the gospel. I think it's the message about righteousness, that God is righteous, and we must be righteous. But what's our problem? Sin. We have a sin problem. And God says, you must be righteous. You're not coming to heaven unrighteous or in as a sinner. So what do? Do we try really hard to be righteous, to be right with God? Do we keep all of his commandments and offer sacrifices when we fail? No, you trust in Christ that he will save you, that he will forgive you, that his cross was enough. You trust in that. That's the message of righteousness. It's God's righteousness is being revealed. He won't allow sin or sinners into heaven, but he has sacrificed his son to forgive sinners. It's his righteousness being displayed on the cross. We look at Jesus and we say, why did he die? Because God is righteous. Because sin is not okay. God just won't overlook our sin. A price must be paid, and Jesus paid that price. He paid it all. So you can be righteous because he is righteous. Paul says, I don't want my own righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ that comes by faith. In verse 13, it says, if you're still living on milk, you're unskilled in the gospel, in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. What are we talking about? I just read an article of a person who years ago went forward at a Billy Graham crusade. He was 10 years old, and everybody was going forward. He went forward. He says, I don't remember what Billy Graham preached about. I don't remember his message, but I wanted to go forward. Other people went forward. When I got there, I prayed. I repented. People put their hands on me. I filled out a card, and then I left, and that was 40 years ago, and nothing in my life has changed. And all I do is feel guilty that Billy Graham says I'm a sinner, and all I do is feel guilty and nothing has changed, and he blames Billy Graham that he feels bad, that he feels guilty. He said, because nothing happened. I mean, I went forward and nothing happened. But what I did not read in his testimony was anything about Jesus. I read about him feeling like a sinner and him hearing Billy Graham, but he doesn't remember what he said, and him going forward and him filling out a card, but I don't hear anything about Jesus. That Jesus died to be my Savior, to forgive my sins. No, I don't. He didn't put his faith in the Lord. He didn't call on Jesus to be his Savior. He just went forward and he filled out a card. And he told God he was sorry for sin. I would say, man, you were close, but you didn't get saved because there's no testimony of Jesus in your life. Jesus is the name of salvation. It is only in him. So this, a child unexperienced, they don't understand the gospel, they're not ready to make a decision to follow Christ as their Savior. It's like they don't understand their need of Christ's righteousness. That's one thing in talking with our children about salvation. As I'd say, don't try to get them to pray a prayer after you, just so you can say we got them saved. They need to understand that they need to be saved. I remember one of my daughters said, I want to be saved. And I said, do you want to be saved or do you want to go get a cheeseburger? And she said, cheeseburger. Okay, and that's okay. She was like 4 years old or something. Later on, some time went by, she said, I want to be saved. And she really wanted to be saved. There's no distraction or talking her out of it. You need to understand your need for salvation, that you're a sinner, and then understand that Jesus died to forgive your sin, that he rose again. When you have to understand the gospel to call on him, to say, I know I need this, and I want it. And listen, you tell me, when you got saved, when you became a Christian, did you want to be? Was there any stopping you? When you knew that God was holy and that you were a sinner and you wanted to be forgiven, you wanted to be saved from judgment and hell and be in heaven, I bet there was no stopping you. We could have offered you that New York strip steak that I mentioned, or a Ford F-150 with a dual everything. And you would say, I am interested in that truck, but first I need to be saved. First I want God to save me. This is the most important thing in my mind right now. Am I right? When you became a Christian, did you want to be a Christian? Yes, amen. And that's what we pray for when we talk with others and we witness, that I'm not trying to trick anybody into praying a prayer. I want them to know their need of salvation and know God's gracious offer of salvation. And when they come to that point, you don't have to tell them what to say. They'll say it. So we can pray right now. Just tell God that you're a sinner and you want to call on Jesus to save you. And they pray their own prayer and God brings salvation. If they're not ready for that, they're like children. They don't who are too young. They don't get it yet. Be ready for more. Look at verse 14. But solid food. What do we mean solid food? I mean like Old Testament truths fulfilled in Jesus. That he's the priest, that he's the perfect sacrifice. Oh, by the way, this is what the book of Hebrews is going to talk about starting in chapter 7. And it's going to go all the way through 8 and 9 and 10. And we'll just be like, woo, Jesus. And we're going to just celebrate in studying who Jesus is and how he's so much better than the priests. And he didn't just bring a perfect sacrifice. He brought himself as the sacrifice for our sins. Solid food. That's in verse 14. It's for the mature, or I think we would say adults. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be 18 to get saved. That's not what we're talking about. You could be 5 years old and get saved, understand and be saved. But there's a difference in his picture between someone who only wants milk and those who want the real truth of the gospel. You could be 5 years old and say, I want the solid food. I want to put my faith in who Jesus is. I'm a sinner. I need him. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment or their senses trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. I think that's talking about a believer who is growing and living out their faith in the world. They're growing. Because remember, he says in verse 12, by this time, you've heard the gospel. You've heard the message. By this time, you should be convinced of who Jesus is. You've heard it and heard it and heard it. And if you're still thinking, well, I better go back to the synagogue. I better make my sacrifices and offerings. Then you're not solid, mature in your faith. You're not living it out. You're not teaching anyone else. And I believe that the imagery is like between those who like Jesus and those who have made a decision to put their trust in him. Do you know the difference? You hear people talk about Jesus and, oh, he was a good teacher. Oh, you know, we should follow the teachings of Jesus. And they don't know what that is. They don't know what that is. Because if they knew the teachings of Jesus, Jesus said, there is a hell, there is a place of judgment, and you need to repent. And Jesus taught certain exact principles about marriage and about morality. And they said, oh, Jesus was a good teacher. He was a good teacher, but he was more than that. He was the Son of God. We're not asking you, do you like Jesus? We're saying, will you give your life to him? Do you love Jesus? That's the difference. It reminds me, when I study this and think about people who only want milk versus people who want the solid food about Jesus, it reminds me of when Jesus talked about the four kinds of soil. Remember, there was a farmer, and he has his seed in the bag, and he goes out and he's scattering the seed. And the seed falls on four different kinds of ground. Do you remember this? There's the hard ground. That's where the path, that's where people were walking. And there's no way the seed is going to get down in there. And the birds come, the little sparrows, and peck, 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 and the seed is gone. Then there's the rocky ground. Some of it falls on the rocky ground. And there's a little bit of, maybe some rain gets in there, and that seed just boop, starts to grow a little bit. But they can't get down into the soil to put the roots down. And so that doesn't last. Then it falls on what we call thorny ground. And so the seed falls in and it starts to grow and weeds come up with it. Do you have weeds in your garden? It's so easy to grow weeds, isn't it? You're trying to grow your flowers or your plants, but weeds just, you know, they come up. And what happens is that person, I think, looks the most like a Christian, but they're not. Their roots don't go down and settle into Jesus. They like what they hear. They like the gospel. They like Christian people. But when the cares of this world come in, when trials and hard things come in, they say, no, I'm not going to trust God in that. I'm just going to go do what I think I should do. They look like Christians, but when the difficulty comes, Paul talks about it as not just a thorn, but a fire. When a fire comes in, they're gone. We thought maybe they were Christians, but no, they're gone. They haven't remained with us. If they were really believers, they would stay. They would endure, but truly their roots weren't down deep. But then there's the good ground. That's the fourth kind. There's good ground where the seed of the gospel falls and it starts to take root, and it takes root down deep, 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 and it grows. And what happens? It produces fruit. There's definitely a change that's going on and growth that's happening. I think that's a similar picture of what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. That there are people who, they eat that, they want the solid meat, they're growing. They're seeing the difference in their life between making good choices and bad choices. Their life is progressing and changing for Christ. Other people are just like, baba. Just want the baba. Just a little milk here. That's all we want. There's a parallel to this. I'm going to have you jump down into chapter 6. There's a parallel to this in verse 7. So we're going to jump all the way down to verse 7 in chapter 6. Here's another example. For land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, here's the land, the rain comes on it, and it's going to grow something, either a healthy crop or thorns and thistles. If it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned. I look at that and I say, two kinds of soil. They both hear the gospel. They both have the rain come down. The rain comes down. But some of the land grows corn, and some of the other is just thorns, thistles, no fruit. And it's just going to be cut down and burned. They both got the rain. They both heard the gospel. And the land looks the same. But some is going to grow vegetables and fruit and be good. And some is thorns. And it did not produce the change and the benefit, the blessing. And so I think of that, the rain and the two kinds of land. I think of Jesus sowing and the seed, and then this milk and solid food. And I think it's the same principle, that there are those who hear the gospel and they like it, but it doesn't change their life. They don't put their faith in Christ. And then there are those who hear the gospel and they say, that's me. I need a savior. I need forgiveness. I want it. And I want more. I want to learn more about him. I want to follow him with my life. So you've heard the good news. You've experienced benefits of salvation. But have you put your faith in who Jesus is, the Son of God, the great high priest, who offered himself as the perfect sacrifice for our sins? I would say that sounds like a lot to chew on. But the writer is saying, don't be a baby who's just happy with their milk. Next week, we're going to tackle this passage, the first really, really tough passage in Hebrews chapter 6, where it talks about people who fall away and they cannot be restored to repentance. But I think in the context of what we are reading and seeing, those are not Christians who lose their salvation. They are people who are not Christians but look like Christians. But Jesus is not enough for them. And so they cannot be saved. If Jesus isn't enough, then there's no more to offer. There's no more to offer. I think we'll see that the meaning of those verses next week. So let's finish this up here. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, be made mature. So move on from milk. Be ready to listen. Be ready to hear more. And here in chapter 6, be made mature. So he says, don't be on the fence anymore. Don't be just milk drinkers. Okay? Let us, therefore, leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. Now, he's not saying we don't need to know the gospel, but he's saying, okay, you got the ABCs? You got it, that you're a sinner, Jesus died for you? You trust in him, and he will give you salvation? Got that? Okay, let's move forward then. Let's go. Let's move forward to maturity. In fact, where you read in your verse, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ, those ABCs, and go on, the word is actually a passive word. It means be carried on. Let God take you from milk to meat. Isn't that awesome? We're not even asking you to do anything except trust in God, and He will bring you to the fullness of your Christian life and salvation. You move forward. He moves you forward. Isn't that cool? It's like, boy, I don't know if I can. I mean, how can I be a Christian? I've got so many bad decisions in my past. How can I? No, just let God take you to where He wants you to be. Let Him take you from being a sinner to being a Christian, to being a saint. You know, I could never be a saint. God can make you that. He will change you. Let Him carry you through to maturity, or the King James says perfection. This idea of completeness. I've heard the gospel. Am I ready to trust in Him? Yes, just put your faith in Him. Let Him carry you through to maturity. And He says, not laying again a foundation, because you already have the foundation. You already have the basics. We're not going to lay that again, of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. That's really the basics of conversion, right? I've had these bad works in my life. I want to turn from that, put my faith in Him. Salvation, boom, right? I'm going to turn from my works, which are dead, which aren't getting me anywhere, and I'm going to put my faith in Him. Repentance and faith. I'm turning from sin to God. He is going to be my salvation. I'm not trying to work for it. I'm trusting Him for it. And he goes on, verse 2, and this foundation of instruction about washings, probably the word is baptisms. Baptisms, like, you know, you're baptized in water. By the way, I interrupt myself. If you believe in Christ, but you have not been baptized, let's do that. Let's get baptized. I'd be glad to do that. We'll baptize you. We've got a baptistry right there. We can heat the water up. Or if you want to be baptized in Burt Lake or Indian River, you know, get Ron Griffin to go down in there with you. He'll get his scuba suit on and baptize you. But you can do that. It doesn't save you, but it shows that you're following Christ. It shows your salvation. And then there's this, of course, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where when you put your faith in Christ, you're also put into the Spirit. You have a new realm that you live in. And we talk about that another time. He talks about the laying on of hands. In the book of Acts, that's how the new believers receive the Holy Spirit. Kind of a technical thing that was part of the first century, laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead. Of course, Jesus rose from the dead, but you will also rise again. And Paul, the writer of Hebrews says, these are the basics. Let's move on from those and learn more, and learn more. Eternal judgment, part of that, where saints will be blessed, the wicked destroyed. Okay, we've got these basics of belief. And so he says, verse 3, this is where we wrap up this morning. Verse 3, this we will do. What do you mean? We're going to go on into the solid food. We're going to go on into these deeper things that you can learn about Christ, and you can grow in your knowledge of Him. And it's going to help you love Him more and worship Him better and serve Him more consistently. We will do that. We're going to help give that solid food if God permits, if that's His will. So I close with this. How will God bring us to maturity? How will He bring us from just hearing and liking the gospel to putting a confident faith in Him? How will He do that? He does it by giving us the solid food. He does it by telling us more about who Jesus is, more about what He has done. Let me read this to you. Hebrews 7, 22 through 25. And then I'm going to pray and we'll close it. Here's what he says. Here's some solid food. This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. I mean, we needed a lot of them. But he holds his priesthood permanently because Jesus continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. He is able to save you to the uttermost. He lives forever. He will save you forever. See, that's good. That's solid. If you come to God through Christ. Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, I thank you for the patience of Indian River Baptist Church to study and listen as we try to understand this teaching of your word. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone who is only liked the gospel, appreciated Jesus, but never put their faith in him, never turned from their own works, but turned to him as their only way of salvation. Father, I pray you would do that today in hearts. That there would be those who would turn and say, I want this for myself. I'm trusting in you for my eternal salvation. No works of mine, but all of what Jesus has done. That's where my confidence is. And Father, for us who are believers, Lord, let us look forward to the solid food, the strong meat of your word, that we might grow stronger, that we might live for you and tell others about it. Thank you for your love and for your word that you give to us. In Jesus' name, amen.